I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
John McClain's got an article up, Seth, about Deshaun Watson. I feel like this topic gets repurposed every few weeks with all of us. McClain, this is from yesterday. As Texans stay patient, a look at trade options for Deshaun Watson. And I thought the interesting part of this was McClain in this article. I got to find the piece. He mentions the usual cast of suspects as far as teams go. You know, Philadelphia is a team that's starting to pick up steam because of all that first round draft capital they have. He mentions Washington and New Orleans as prominent teams that could be in the mix for Deshaun Watson. And those are teams that could be in the mix for Deshaun Watson this summer. Because their quarterback situations are not necessarily settled with long-term plans there. This was the part I found interesting that McClain said. Because Watson's situation is such a distraction, at a time when the Texans are trying to rebuild under Caserio and Culley, a trade could be sooner rather than later once he's cleared of his legal problems. In other words, and I'm paraphrasing what I think John is saying here, Seth, that if this stuff gets cleared up imminently, in the next few weeks, June, let's say, July, that because Deshaun Watson represents such a distraction, that would be motivation for the Texans to move on from Deshaun Watson as soon as they can possibly move on from him. Do you buy that? Because I think both you and I have thought that the optimal time to move him in terms of maximizing the return, odds are it's going to be before next year's draft after the season is over in 2021.
Yeah, it feels too much like trying to time the market if you do it beforehand. If there's a great deal on the table and you say, okay, this is the perfect deal right now, where things change. You can't predict who the bad teams are going to be this year. There's always a surprise bad team. There's always a surprise good team. So, and especially when you trade Deshaun Watson now, if he ends up playing for a team, then some of those draft picks that you get for him are going to be devalued because he's going to add wins to it. I think that it makes a lot of sense to hold on. The one part, I guess, Sean, that factors into it is you could, at the very least, you could take the cap hit now and kind of get out from underneath a lot of that. But go ahead and take your medicine now. Take the cap hit. Don't pay his salary this season, and then you can be free and clear of it. But it's not like you've made a whole bunch of moves to try to win this season right now.
No.
So part of it is that you've willingly signed on for some discomfort already. What's another 12 months of discomfort? And that's a question that we can't answer. Only Cal McNair and maybe Nick Caserio can answer that, because they have to do it day in and day out and deal with all of this and deal with it at every press conference. It might get to the point where they feel like it's just, is there a pall over the team or young guys? Is it too much of a distraction? I don't think they really know that until you get into training camp.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you think that the media here is a type of media where they're going to be beating Culley and Caserio over the head with Deshaun Watson after the first wave of questions about it in July or August or whatever?
I don't think it is, and I don't think it really is necessarily anywhere, because when there's nothing to report, there's nothing to report.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's overblown. I heard somebody talking about Jacksonville the other day and saying, well, there was some theory about Trevor Lawrence maybe, you know, not starting right away so he won't have to deal with as much pressure. And somebody said, well, how much media pressure is there in Jacksonville? Well, frankly, there's a lot. Like, whenever you're on any NFL team, there's a lot of media pressure because they are the most intensely covered team in that market. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are, you know, that's like saying, hey, how much pressure could there be on a high school quarterback? There's a lot. If you go to go ahead and be a Texas high school quarterback and tell me if that kid feels any pressure or not, because that's his whole universe is that city right there, that little town, that little school. So I think likewise for the Texans, it's just a matter of how much does it actually distract the players? How much does it actually distract the coaches? How much of it is an overarching presence day in and day out? And I do think you're right, Sean. The intensity and scrutiny wouldn't be as much if it were, say, the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Because that's not as much about the size of the town. It's about the national prominence and the national presence.
Yes.
It probably won't be as much as if it were the Green Bay Packers. I'm trying to kind of openly search my brain for any reasons why this amount of scrutiny or this amount of hubbub right now should force the Texans to trade him earlier, and I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's not like the team hasn't had drama swirling around it for a year and a half now. You know what I mean? Like, oh, now all of a sudden you're averse? Now all of a sudden because a 3-14 season might get torpedoed, you want to unload Deshaun Watson for 60 cents on the dollar? That doesn't make any sense to me.
They wouldn't unload Jack Easterby when it would have made the pain go away.
Right.
Why would they unload Deshaun Watson just to make the pain go away?
Right. When you can get stuff for Deshaun Watson, you know what I mean? Like that doesn't make sense to me.
The Texans right now are capable of enduring any kind of pain, whether it be self-inflicted or from the outside.
I would agree.
They're like your long-suffering mother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
that bears has many crosses to bear, both real and imagined.
Yes, indeed. All right. Hey, one of Deshaun Watson's favorite targets at one time was in town this past week. He was in town this past weekend. We'll hear from him. He's got an interesting product here. How does this product stack up to other football players' products? We'll let you know who it is next. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Even when guys get moved from the Texans or from teams here in Houston, oftentimes they still keep a home here or they come back to Houston. Athletes like Houston. No state income tax. The weather is warm. I would imagine DeAndre Hopkins still has a place here in Houston. Either way, he was in town this past weekend. He was at the Turkey Lake Hut over the weekend with Mayor Turner, and he was passing along the message of encouraging people to get vaccinated.
I support anything Mr. Turner do. He come out here and work on the ground. Not a lot of people do that, so it's my guy. Anytime, anywhere he's at, I'm there to support.
What do you think? Plus, they've asked me to play for Arizona.
Oh, Lord. So he's
down here to recruit me.
He said he still got some years, though.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Love you, man.
All right.
All right, so a lot of love there. Mayor Turner.
What was going on there?
Mayor Turner was talking after DeAndre said, I'm just down here helping Mayor Turner. They were at the Turkey Leg Hut.
Right, but what was Turner saying?
He was saying, and DeAndre's also down here recruiting me to go to Arizona
to play
football in Arizona, which I don't know if I'm Mayor Turner and I'm trying to get reelected. I don't know if I'm even jokingly putting that out there, that I'm getting recruited to play for the Cardinals.
Yeah, he should have spit on the ground.
Yeah.
So that's what I think of your offer, sir.
Right. Right. And then they like taking sweat from his brow and then flicked it in DeAndre's face.
Yeah,
you know?
I would rather suffer the I'd say something really grand.
Yeah. So Hopkins back in town this weekend. Seth, by the way, we need to go to the Turkey Leg Hut. That's on JJ's list of places to eat.
It's on the bucket list. So I got to do good. I got to go to Lucky's and the Turkey Leg Hut. Those are like almost the exact opposites because the Turkey Leg Hut is a just a very much a local institution.
Yeah.
Where Lucky's is the institution come down from Detroit.
Oh, Lefties. You're thinking of Lefties.
Lefties. Yeah. Lefties. Brought in by the quarterback who desperately wants
Let's
out of
do
town.
This. When we go to the if we go to the Dodger game on Tuesday, then let's we'll have lunch at Lefties and we'll have a late lunch at Turkey Leg Hut.
Turkey Leg Hut? Okay. Yeah. Let's do you know what we should do is a the Houston Press does a good job with stuff like this, Sean. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing there's a Houston bucket list somewhere that Houston Press has done.
Guaranteed.
Or sometimes they've got all the, you know, the stuff that you should visit before you die and everything.
Yeah.
We should start doing that as a show where it's our bucket list, but we'll do it together.
I like that. All right. The Payne and Pendergast bucket list. I'm going to research that.
We'll get
that
matching t-shirts too, and hats, ball caps.
And if people want to join us, they can wear the t-shirts and go with us. We'll be like Forrest
so
Gump.
We'll number the shirts so we can keep accurate counts.
Authenticity, yes, absolutely.
Oh, like Forrest Gump with our people, our masses behind us.
Yeah, yeah.
As we eat turkey legs
That. But okay. They have to stand like 10 yards behind us like all the people following Forrest Gump on the road.
Oh, write this down since we're on the culinary side of our bucket list.
Yeah, go ahead.
That place where they throw the rolls at you. That somebody texted in 713-572-4610.
I know what you're talking about.
It's up on the north side somewhere, if I recall correctly.
I'm guessing we'll get texts in about 15 seconds on that one.
Yeah.
Did you see that DeAndre Hopkins is getting his own cereal?
Only because you showed it to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know what kind of a cereal it is. Are they flakes? Are they crunches? What are they?
I'm not sure. If you're doing an athlete cereal, they usually wind up either being flakes or O's.
Yeah.
But this is this is DeAndre Hopkins is the the D-Hop Hop Box. What's so funny?
Which player would do like the unsweetened shredded wheat version of a cereal? The most heavy Tom Brady, I suppose.
Probably Brady.
Maybe just good and solid, nothing necessarily flashy or fantastic.
Oh, back
about
in the day, Mike Mamula, like some combine warrior, you know what I mean? That can bench 225 58 times.
There's not a greater difference in the world between two products than between frosted shredded wheat and shredded wheat.
Yeah, it's for charity, according to the folks putting this out, portion of the proceeds will benefit survivors of domestic violence. We know that DeAndre Hopkins, his mom has a history. She was a victim of domestic violence back in the day. So it is for charity. So that's good. The representative putting this out told TMZ Sports the cereal would be in a style similar to Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, okay. All right.
Are you a fan of Honey Nut Cheerios, Seth?
I am a fan of Honey Nut Cheerios.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, you don't like Honey Nut Cheerios?
Not really, no. I think Cheerios are a little overrated.
I do. There are very few cereals I don't like. I like Grape Nuts. If you name a bad cereal and I'll eat the hell out of it. I don't mind. I'm a grain junkie.
Corn
David
flakes?
Culley, what kind of a junkie did David Culley call himself? A food junkie?
Yeah.
I'm a specific type of food junkie. I'm a boxed cereal. Yo, cornflakes?
Corn
Are you kidding
flakes.
Me? Oh, hell yeah, cornflakes.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's one of the best. Wow. Corn. Now, listen, Sean, cornflakes has a subtly sweet quality to it that you might miss if you're flying through your day trying to get out to your
from your lips
job.
To God's ears. All right, so tell me, cereal junkie, if you've eaten any of these athlete cereals, are you ready?
Yep.
Have you had Flutie Flakes?
I have had Flutie Flakes. They are Frosted Flakes, but thicker, which was nice because they maintained their crunchiness.
Mm.
The SOG factor was very low.
Okay.
So those were actually pretty damn good.
I feel like we're stumbling onto something here.
Yeah.
I feel like you should be doing a cereal review website. You are seriously with a straight face critiquing the thickness and texture of the cereal able to maintain its crunchiness is very funny.
You would have noticed it if you had eaten Flutie Flakes. Yeah. They were almost rigid, like almost uncomfortably so at first, until you learned to appreciate their sturdiness.
Next one. Have you had Tim Duncan's Slam Dunkin' O's?
They were boring and bland, yet effective. They got the job done. Okay. They filled you up.
You've had those. Yeah. They had those at HEB specifically is where they sold those. All right. Have you had the Gronk Flakes?
Yes, but they were best enjoyed by 19-year-old co-eds.
Okay. Yeah. I won't ask why. Okay. All right, now we're starting to get into some more obscure ones. Anthony Rizzo had the Riz-O's. I don't expect that you've had Anthony Rizzo's cereal at any point.
What would I say about an Anthony Rizzo? I don't even know.
Have you had Justin Verlander's fastball flakes?
No, I didn't even know. That must have just been specifically a Detroit thing.
I guess. Yeah, it was Detroit. Yeah. But I would like for Scott from HEB, if you're listening, if you could find some way to bring the Verlander fastball flakes to Houston.
Yeah.
He's still an Astro for at least like 4 more months. Okay, now, have you had Peyton Manning's cereal?
I did, okay. And then I immediately, like, whined and bitched about them the whole time.
Okay.
And then I had my daddy call and change the formula up. That was what happens is you eat a box of Peyton O's, and all of a sudden, immediately, you start cussing everybody out in your immediate vicinity.
Yep.
You get preferential treatment from everybody around you, and then your daddy goes and smooths the path for you.
There you go. Okay. Well, those are some odd side effects just from eating a bowl of cereal, but okay. Your former teammate Mario Williams had a cereal, the Mario's.
I don't remember that at all. Was that in Buffalo?
That was in Buffalo, yeah. That was Buffalo. So he's not had the Mario's.
It's probably the same. I'm guessing it was probably from the same company that made the Flutie Flakes, so I bet they were delicious. I've actually talked – every time I see Doug Flutie, I ask him to bring back the Flutie Flakes. I think he could probably get
good,
away with
huh?
it. Yeah, they were really, really good. Rebrand them as something else. I tell them, like, just as a standalone business idea, I feel like you need to have those out there. Yeah. Don't put your name. Look, maybe you don't like the attention. Don't put your name on it. Don't put your likeness on it.
Right. Someone texted in, please let us know when you guys go to the Turkey Leg Hut. Got to see that. Okay. Yeah, we'll let you know when we go. If it happens, it could happen next Tuesday when the Astros play the Dodgers. All right, last one, Seth. Have you had Randy Moss's Magic Crunch, Mr. Cereal Aficionado?
No.
Okay.
These are only ever sold in the local markets. I don't I was lying. I was lying about everything except Flutie Flakes. Those are the only ones I've had.
Well, you don't have to let people peek behind the curtain. I believe you.
I don't, yeah.
Until the Peyton one, I actually believed you.
I mean, I'd have to have been traveling in these very cities, unless there's some kind of convention where you can go and
pretty
and
damn worldly, if you want to know. Seth, multiple people texting
me. My pastor had to talk to me about that. He said, Seth, I know you're a high flying cereal enthusiast and everything, but it's coming off like you care more about the world than you care about your inner spiritual
life.
Jet flying. I had just had a whole six pack of the miniature Peyton-O's, so I slapped my pastor to the ground and then looked around like it was his fault, not mine.
Right, because that's what happens when you eat the Peyton-O's.
I fake spiked it on his head.
Potato Patch is the name of the restaurant you were thinking of where they throw the bread at you. They throw the rolls at you.
Put that on our Houston bucket list.
Potato Patch. Got it.
Do they insult you?
You're thinking of Dick's Last Resort, I think, where they insult. Maybe they do it. Do they, texters, do they insult you at the Potato Patch? 713-572-4610.
Where's Dick's Last Resort?
It's a chain. It's all over the place.
I remember I've been to that place. Yeah, I remember it was a long time ago.
I feel like you would get annoyed at Dick's Last Resort.
Well, yeah, because they weren't. I felt like our waitress wasn't that good at it.
Okay.
I got annoyed that it was just kind of stocking. So I was like, "You're not even doing this in a funny way. You're just insulting us."
I feel like the servers at Dick's Last Resort to you would be like the text page with two legs. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be funnier if you're going to insult me. Come on now.
Yeah, I'm not insulted that you insulted me. I'm insulted that you didn't use a good insult.
You're insulted as a funny person. You are insulted. All right. 713-572-4610. All right, Seth.
They don't insult you at the potato patch.
Okay, good. No insults. Yeah. Potato Patch is awesome. That's the text page. All right, so we got to put a bucket list together. I'm on that today. I've got two polls that Seth wants me to put up here. Seth, quarter of the way through the Astros season, we got to give the people what they want. They want a circle of trust, a revised Astros circle of trust 2.0. So we're going to give that to the people. Who are the Astros on a 6-game winning streak heading into one of the most important stretches of the season here? 7-game road trip, Dodgers coming to town, Padres coming to town, Red Sox coming to town. This is a big couple of weeks of baseball coming up. Who are the Astros that we trust? Who are the Astros still outside the circle of trust? We circle them up next here on Payne and Pendergast. Stay there.
When it comes to our favorite players, it comes down to one question. Can we trust you?
See, if I can't trust you, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle.
Who's in? Who's out? It's the Payne and Pendergast Astros Circle of Trust.
And here we go, Seth. This is the second version of the Astros Circle of Trust that we have done this year. The Astros are on a six-game winning streak right now. They're 24-17. They are in Oakland getting ready for a three-game series where if they're able to win this series, they'll be in first place in the American League West. So it should be a fun few days of baseball out on the West Coast. There'll be some sleep-deprived hosts tomorrow, but it'll be worth it if the Astros are able to win. So, Seth, let's assess here. I've got the players that we had in the first version, and we can rapid-fire some of these. Some of these we don't need to debate as far as being in the Circle of Trust go. In fact, I will read the names that are in the Circle of Trust right now, and you stop me if we get to one that you feel we need to debate and discuss, all right?
Oh, yeah.
These are the Astros that after version 1.0, which was a couple of weeks ago, were in the Circle of Trust. Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Yuli Gurriel, Yordan Alvarez.
Whew, I'm feeling better and better about this team all the time.
Yeah, just reciting names here.
Yeah.
And Michael Brantley. And now keep in mind, just for those who are new to the Circle of Trust, this is not a statistical thing, much to the chagrin perhaps of Seth, who is a stat nerd, as we all know. This is
This is where Seth
shows his range as a host and as a baseball fan. The Circle of Trust is purely a gut feeling thing. It's basically how much do you trust this person to do their job to the best of their ability? We're not asking Martin Maldonado to be Mike Piazza. We're asking him to be the best version of Martin Maldonado that he can be. So, Correa.
Yeah, so that's the rule, is this is more of a gut feel thing. Unless I can really back up my gut feel with stats, then it's a stats thing.
If
I can't back it up with stats, then stop taking it so seriously, everybody. This is all about gut feel.
That's right. So, Correa, Altuve, Bregman, Yuli, Yordan, Brantley, it sounds, Seth, like you're cool with all those guys, and as am I, being in the Circle of Trust. All right,
Altuve... I don't know if we even had a little bit of it. I think we had a little bit of a discussion about Altuve the last time we did this.
We may have.
But he's back up over 300.
Yeah.
He'll never stop hitting the baseball again, and all is well.
That's right. So those are really kind of your core six hitters and have been all year. No surprise, they're in the Circle of Trust. All right, now it starts to get interesting. These are the pitchers we had in the Circle of Trust. And by the way, I know that there are other hitters on this team. We're going to get to the people that are up for discussion to be included, who weren't included before, in a second. But we've got to flesh out the current circle first. So far, we're 6-for-6. Everybody's staying. Now we get to the pitchers, though. Zach Greinke was in the Circle of Trust a few weeks ago, Seth. Is he still in the Circle of Trust?
He's straddling it.
Yeah. Well, he's either in or out. There's no circle of straddle.
He's straddling my Circle of Trust.
Okay.
I'm fully, it's not like I'm sitting here saying, like, how come he doesn't throw the ball hard no more? I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
He's a different guy. And we've fallen in love with that different guy. We've fallen in love with the Ephus pitch. The problem is that now the Ephus pitch has become almost, sometimes I'm not so sure if the super, super slow curveball is one of Greinke's fun little wrinkles or if it's just actually what he offered us up on that because that's all he could do. He needs to rein it in a little bit to be 2 feet in the Circle of Trust.
Okay, well let's determine this in or out thing here. Answer me this simple question. Do you dread a Zach Greinke start right now?
Well, no, but I don't think that's the barometer. I don't dread a Zach Greinke start. I still get excited for it.
Yeah.
Even you could tell me that he was going to give up 5 runs and I would still get excited for the Zach Greinke start. Because he's just a joy to watch. I'm apprehensive of a Greinke start.
Okay, I still have him in the Circle of Trust. I think he can go win baseball games.
Going 7 innings, and I actually thought of this when he went 7 and he didn't have his best stuff at all a few days ago. Was it May 14th? And he gave up 3 runs that day, but it felt early on like it could have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to keep him outside the Circle of Trust for right this moment.
Right,
so I guess Ben's the tiebreaker.
Ben is the tiebreaker. Ben, you can give us a ding or a buzz. Is Zach Greinke in the Circle of Trust or is he out of the Circle of Trust? Okay, he's in.
Okay.
So for now, he's in. All right, good job, Ben. All right, Jose Urquidy.
He's in the circle of rehab.
Yeah, I think he's got to be outside right
now.
So
he's outside the circle of rehab. I can't trust him to not be injured for the moment. Yep. So once he stops being injured and gets back in, he'll be in my circle of trust.
Ryan Presley was in version 1.0. I see no reason to excommunicate him.
He's in my circle of hell yeah. Give me some more.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I may name this thing after Ryan Presley. All right, Seth, our first circle of trust had Brandon Belak in it.
Oh, out, 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 out. I cast you out, Brandon Belak, from the circle of trust. I love Brandon Belak, and I hope that he finds a way back into the circle of trust.
Mm-hmm.
But he's given up at least a run in 8 of his last 9 appearances.
Ooh, when you're a middle reliever, that's no good.
It's been a rough go of it. I thought at the very least, now one of those appearances was he went 3 1/3 innings. 2 appearances back, and that's where you felt like, yeah, here's long reliever. Remember the first game we saw earlier this year, he went 4 2/3 innings, the first game of the season. So when used in that role, I like him when he comes in as a long reliever.
Okay.
And yet, that's not how he's always going to be used. So I can't put him in the circle.
He's out for me. He's out for me. Okay, so he's out. Okay, now where are we with Stanek? Where are we with Ryan
Stanek? He's in the circle of trust. Still so look at this last outing.
Garbage
it happens,
last time
Sean.
Out. Hot garbage.
It happens. But he's the opposite of Belak.
Okay.
I looked this up before the show and then I lost it. I think he had not given up a run in 7 consecutive innings before that.
The Saturday outing where he basically let the Rangers single-handedly back into the game. I'll leave him in.
Again, this is a gut feel. Because the outcome of that game ended up okay, I didn't have to stay mad at him.
So
I'm not. I don't have any residual anger over him blowing that game like he almost did.
All right, so there are 9 guys in the circle of trust who were in the first one who remain. Now, those up for discussion.
Okay.
Lance McCullers was not in our first circle of trust, and it's probably because we did it right after he got the COVID vaccine and turned into a pitching machine.
Yeah. Now he's most assuredly back in the circle.
No doubt.
Trust.
McCullers is back in. Welcome back in, Lance McCullers.
He's rocking a 2.70 ERA right this moment, my friends.
Yep. Luis Garcia.
Oh, Luis Garcia. I can't put him in the circle of trust. I think eventually he's going to be in my circle of AAA trust.
Yeah.
Back when everybody gets healthy, I'm thinking it's going to ultimately end up being Framber, Greinke, McCullers, Urquidy, Odorizzi.
Okay.
And Javier will probably be in the bullpen, and Garcia will be down in AAA.
Okay.
So that's where he's just not quite there yet. Although I'm pulling for Luis Garcia.
He's been good.
There's something. I know. I just can't put him quite in the circle of trust yet, but I love his whole vibe.
Yep.
I love his physique.
Yep.
That's right. I'm saying that. There's something about his unconventional, solid little, like tiny little nose tackle type of physique, like a lean nose tackle, like a Kelly Gregg type from the old Baltimore Ravens.
If you say so. Yeah, sure.
He's just not quite there yet.
All right, so Luis Garcia not in the circle of trust. Seth and I are going through
But I do this with no hostility whatsoever.
He'll be okay.
This one, I feel he's like he's like the kid. He's not ready. He's like a young boxer. He's not quite ready for the title fight.
Fair enough. Yeah. You don't need to justify it. The circle of trust 2.0. Christian Javier was not in our first version of the circle of trust, probably because he was on that minor league assignment that he had when they activated Odorizzi. Is Javier in your circle of trust? Right
Javier now? Is not quite in my circle of
Me
trust
neither.
Just yet.
Yeah.
I guess with Javier, there's still a part of me that wonders. All right, how much of it is the ambush quality or effect where the word is going to start getting out about his invisible and just about how to track his pitches and all of that stuff. So I'm just not quite there yet. He's close to it.
Okay.
He's camped out on the edge of my circle of trust. I think the next time we do this is a very good chance he's in the circle of trust.
If we did this tomorrow, he might be in because he starts tonight for the Astros, but that's not the way the calendar works out for Christian Javier. All right, here we go, Seth. Kyle Tucker. Is Kyle Tucker in the circle of trust?
Boy, how do I feel when Kyle Tucker gets up to the plate these days.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to use
I know.
I'm going to use a Correa word right now. I'm feeling kind of sexy when he gets up to the plate.
I don't like that. I don't like how he does that.
That's how I feel.
I don't like the
way. I don't care if you like it or not. That's how I feel.
Yeah, you know what? It's honestly, it's catching me more by surprise that I didn't have to think about it at all.
I'm ready to put him in.
When I go with my gut feel, I'm good with Kyle Tucker right
now.
It's
been a long time coming, but I'm ready to put him in. 9 home runs for Kyle Tucker. Miles Straw.
No, outside the circle of trust.
What's up with you and Miles Straw the last couple days?
I don't know what it is. Because I think
you voluntarily went on a Miles Straw rant yesterday.
Look, he's had some good moments.
Yeah,
he's come up big in some tight spots and some high leverage situations. Yet no matter which way you slice and dice it, he's not a good hitter. He's not that good in the outfield. He is there as a placeholder.
What's not
and
to
I'm
love?
Not going to put a placeholder for something. And you know what it bothers me the most, Sean? It's that the scrappy little guy that used to be so fast actually hasn't been all that blisteringly fast since they made him more of a full-time
player. Go ahead. Give us the stat. What is it again?
He was in the 90. Back 2 years ago, he was in the 99th percentile of
now?
Base running speed. Now he's down around 94th percentile.
Oh, my God. He's like a tortoise. It's unbelievable.
He's like one out of 20. He can win a 20-man race, but he can't win a 100-man race.
23. A 100-man race. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Are either the catchers in the circle of trust right now, Castro?
Oh, yeah, Maldonado's in. I don't care what he does at the plate. Maldonado, just throw somebody out at second every now and then.
He wasn't in earlier this year, just so you know.
Throw somebody out at second every now and then. Get barreled into at home plate.
Yeah,
don't
get
a concussion out of it. Right. I don't know how he toughed his way out of a concussion, but somehow he did it. He was back out there the next – or did he take the next night off, that big collision?
I don't know, but he was back pretty quickly.
Yeah,
quicker than you or I would have been.
Yeah, and Castro, no, but you know, it's not with no hate or ill will in my heart.
All
yeah.
right, so let's. So any other everyday player?
You know, but back to Straw. Back to Straw. This is the other thing. This is the other thing that bothered me because you see this in baseball so often. Because he's fast, people assumed he'd be a good center fielder, and I think he's gotten better at center field. I think he's getting a better jump on the ball. He's understanding how to work the ballparks and the walls and various things. But just being fast doesn't make you a good outfielder.
Right.
That has annoyed me for 3 straight years now. With people acting like, "Well, yeah, he's fast, so he'll probably be an awesome center fielder." There's so much more that goes into it than that. So and then I feel like sometimes he gets credit for making impressive catches that are only impressive because he had a bad read on the ball or he used poor technique in getting there.
Yeah. Possibly.
So I'm open to him ended up being in the circle of trust someday, but I'm just not seeing the evidence for it right
today
now.
Is not that day, no. All right, so last thing here, Seth, there's some bullpen guys who are not in the circle of trust right now. I'm going to rapid fire 4 names at you that have gotten most of the activity lately. Paredes just came back 1 game ago. I can't put Paredes in after 1 inning worth of coming back from his rehab stint, although I do like Paredes. He's 1 or 2 appearances away from getting in for me. Stop me if I get to a name you feel you want to debate to put in.
Okay.
Brooks Raley, Andre Scrub, Kent Emmanuel, Brian Abreu. Any of those 4 names do you feel need inclusion in the circle of trust?
No, not yet.
Okay. Emmanuel pitched 8 2/3 innings, I'll remind you.
Yeah, I know. But we just haven't seen enough of him,
gotcha.
Right?
Okay,
and
no,
I'm wondering,
enough.
Okay, why haven't we seen as much of him?
Yeah.
They're being very careful and delicate with Kent Emmanuel, so I prefer to be careful and delicate with him.
All right, so there you go. So our circle of trust is as follows.
I almost, if I had to choose between Chaz McCormick and Miles Straw, I would throw Chaz McCormick in there.
Oh, I skipped over McCormick entirely. Is he in the circle of trust, though?
He's not, but he's got a much better lead on the situation than Miles Straw.
His biggest issue
is he's not fast enough to be a center fielder, but otherwise, I don't freak out when I see him in the lineup.
I still think we could reach a point where he's getting more run than Miles Straw is in this
lineup. He's got to be getting – he's about an average OPS, if I remember correctly.
He's got a little pop, at least, in his bat, you know?
Yeah.
So here is our circle of trust. We added 3 new names. We eliminated a couple. Do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around, and we've got 12 names in the circle of trust right now for the Astros. They are as follows. Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Michael Brantley, Yuli Gurriel, Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker. Those are your everyday players in the circle of trust. Your seven big bats are in there. And then in the pitching staff, we still trust Zach Greinke. McCullers, welcome to the circle of trust. And Martin Maldonado is in there as well as far as everyday players go. And then out of the bullpen, really the only circle of trusters right now are Ryan Presley and Ryan Stanek. We eliminated Belak, not in there anymore. So that feels about right. You know, a bunch of inexperienced bullpen and starting rotation guys that we don't totally trust yet, and a bunch of bats that are bats that would start and thrive in almost any lineup in the major leagues.
Of all the things that perhaps have exceeded your expectations or disappointed you so far, for me, I think that maybe the depth of the starting pitching, isn't it a complete surprise because we knew all of these names and we knew these guys, but it was a matter of, okay, but how's it going to look over time? Now I think you've got seven guys at least that you feel pretty good about. You know that there's a really good chance of a good outing with at least seven of these guys when they're in starting.
That's a good question. I think as far as big surprise, the fact that Yuli has come back with such a vengeance.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's the biggest surprise.
First month and a half, like that. I'm not surprised that he's a competent major leaguer again. You know, he was not that in the playoffs last year. He was abysmal in the playoffs last year. He was like an automatic out. But that he's come back and that he's hit like an MVP candidate to me. He hopefully makes the All-Star team. Let's hope.
I mean, he's not on the same tear that he was at the beginning, but still, so far, a quarter of the way through the season, he's far outplayed his historical averages.
Oh yeah,
over his first five seasons, just been he's been really, really good.
He's been great. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. We talked about Deshaun Watson trade scenarios earlier. The way the schedule works out, there are a couple of teams that might be in the mix for Deshaun Watson, not before the season, not after the season, but possibly at the trade deadline. We'll tell you who those two teams are next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.